Ben.
And I'm Jenny.
And we're Playing Doctor. Playing Doctor is our weekly Doctor Who podcast where we watch and discuss episodes of the hit BBC series. And this week we're going to be discussing an older episode.
Not too old. It's kind of a weird in-between episode called Curse of the Fatal Death. God, your fault. Yeah. You do this to me every time.
The Curse of Fatal Death. But that is a very common mistake.
Yeah, the one that you made and you told me about the show and it gets stuck in my head.
Friend of the show corrected us on our Facebook page. Thank you, Kirby. Now then, before we get started on this week's episode, though, a couple of things. First, we want to talk about Intervention.
Oh, it was so much fun.
As it is every year.
And if you haven't gone yet, why not?
It'll be back next year.
It will. Same place, Bethesda.
But it won't be unless fans of the show show up every year.
Yeah. Yeah.
We keep the show alive.
Yeah, we do.
Not us specifically, but
fans it's us.
And friends.
It's us.
All right there at table number 9.
Yeah.
That's the
hordes of people clamoring for our free cards.
I think it might be Anazumi and the staff working like several thousand man hours a week getting ready for this thing.
Yeah, I mean, they set it up so that we can have the table and show up and
our
have
hordes of
our
fans.
All of our fans show up just to see us.
Yeah. Well, if all of our fans would if everybody who's ever downloaded an episode would buy a weekend pass and in the notes put we're coming to see Ben and Jenny.
Yeah.
That would really help us.
That really would.
Because we've had a significant number of downloads at this point.
Yeah.
Like several hundreds.
Odd, since we haven't had a show in forever.
Well, I want to say, though, to all of our new friends who met us at Intervention this year, and we've handed out a ton of our Playing Doctor cards.
Yeah, we did.
So, welcome to our new friends, and I hope they're... See, what I'm hoping is that they found the show, they subscribed, and it's taking them this long to catch up. So by the time they get to this, this episode, they're like, "Oh, this
yay, new
this,
episode!
This is like nonstop. This is like 2,700 episodes."
It's kind of like when I started watching like Breaking Bad near the end. You know, I watched all the old episodes just in time to catch up with the new ones.
And now we have to wait for each episode.
Yes.
So everybody who started listening to Playing Doctor podcast during our hiatus. And they went through all those episodes and all the spoiler episodes, which is in like the 20s of episodes now.
Ooh.
And so when they finally catch up to it, now they have to wait for the regular updates to come out.
Yeah. Anyway, so Intervention.
Intervention is always great. And big thing at this year's Intervention is we had a packed panel.
Oh, the Doctor Who panel?
The Doctor Who panel. And myself, Kara Dennison, Tiffany... And our new friend, he moderated the panel, Ben Taylor.
He was awesome.
He was awesome, and we are trying very hard to get him to be a guest of the show.
Yeah.
There's something about we have to, like, import jelly babies or something.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of like a rule that we have to have as many Bens on the show as possible.
Yes. We have discussed, I am Ben number 2.
And so you shit.
No.
Oh.
And he's been... Okay. He's the third Ben. Okay. And we're all like, all the Bens are regenerations of the Bens.
Okay.
So
you're not shit.
No.
Even though you're number 2.
Well, number 1 is old Ben.
Okay.
Alec Guinness.
Ben Kenobi.
The original Ben.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So I really like how you guys did the panel this year. Instead of just, you know, chat about Doctor Who, random things, which has always been good in the past also. But this year you kind of went through... each doctor and talked a little bit about them.
Well, that was mainly because, well, one, it was the 50th anniversary.
Right.
We tried to get as much of the doctor in there as possible. And we kind of focused on the old stuff this year because it's the 50th anniversary. The show's been around for a while. And then two, it was good having, well, we decided for Ben to be the moderator because Ben is from the UK and being British, you know, he put a little bit of authority to our panel.
Yes, he automatically knows more about Doctor Who than anyone else in the room.
Yes.
Just by being British.
Yes. You grow up, you're just saturated with it.
Yeah.
You get it by osmosis. the BBC comes to your house and injects Doctor Who into your brain.
A direct injection of BBC. That's how I like it.
Okay. So, this week, we decided, even though we didn't mark this as a spoilers episode, this episode will contain some spoilers.
Yeah, not really heavy spoilers. We're not going to give away any plot, really, but we will mention some characters and villains that we haven't discussed in our regular lineup.
Well, part of this is the last televisual production of Doctor Who.
Televisual.
Produced in the 20th century. Mm-hmm. This episode came out as part of the Red Nose Day celebration for comic relief. Mm-hmm. And that was March of 1999.
Mm-hmm. So this was after the travesty of the American Doctor Who.
Which I liked. I liked Paul McGann, didn't like the movie so much.
Yes.
Okay. Because I don't need fangirls burning down my door and screaming and starting a flame war on our Facebook page. We love Paul McGann. We just think he should have had a better movie.
Yes. Okay. I think we can agree on that, but if there are rabid fangirls who are maybe inclined to burn things down, this might not be the show for you, because we're not going to kiss Doctor Who ass every single episode.
I will. On the episodes that we talk about the Fifth Doctor, because all of his episodes were awesome. But anyway.
You said the Sixth Doctor?
The Fifth Doctor.
I know you love the Sixth Doctor. Anyway. So
next week when Ben and I are doing the show... So keep it up. One of us might not be on the show.
Okay.
I can walk right now.
Maybe I'll just split off with one of my lady friends and we'll start our own Doctor Who show. The uh-huh. Time Ladies.
We'll Time Scissors. So, this was part of the Red Nose Day celebration in 1999. Mm-hmm. Which makes, even though this is a parody, and it is extremely non-canonical.
Yes.
It is the first adventures of the Ninth Doctor.
Yeah, technically.
And it was really weird because this was also the first Doctor Who, televised Doctor Who, written by Stephen Moffat.
In case you're not paying attention, he's the guy in charge now.
Yes, and that's why we have to warn you about the spoilers that we're going to be talking about in this episode. Because a lot of the stuff that he had in this episode, even though it's a parody, has kind of shown up later on.
Little hints here and there.
And a little background on Steven. He was a huge, or he still is, I assume, huge Doctor Who fan.
Mm-hmm.
Grew up with it, loved it. This was a dream job. So when his wife was assigned this job... as the producer, mm-hmm. Sue Virtue, she gets the job as producer, and he gets in as the writer.
So he begged her every day, please put me on the show, please put me on the show, I want to do this, please, I will take out the trash.
I'm assuming she knew he was a Doctor Who fan.
Yes.
I just imagine his house, he has like the 70s and 80s Doctor Who posters up all in his room mm-hmm. and stuff.
He probably has a TARDIS room. Mm-hmm. In his garage.
Probably has a TARDIS.
Yeah.
By now. Maybe not then, but now he does.
Yeah.
I'm sure. But anyway, I'll talk more about that later. So, in this, we start out with the classic opening. It looks like the Tom Baker era. Well, the 74 to 80 Tom Baker era.
Because the face comes in and there's all this swirly.
Yeah, it has the slit screen, the TARDIS. Coming into mm-hmm. view with the logo. It had the red nose in the place of the O.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that was their little thing. But starts out, classic opening. And then we see an exterior of the TARDIS as the Master is watching the TARDIS float through space. That's actually the TARDIS from the 1996 movie.
Oh,
at the opening area of that.
So that wasn't completely useless.
Yeah, see?
Okay.
And then we meet the Doctor. Kind of.
Yeah.
First we meet the Master.
We first meet the Master, who is Jonathan Pryce.
You might remember from his appearance in James Bond and a ton of other things.
See, I didn't know because apparently I'm not a James Bond fan. So.
Yeah, well, if you watched a few James Bond movies, you would have seen him as the maniacal media Lord or whatever that
was. He was on the car commercials back in the 90s. You may remember him from that. Infinity, I believe.
I just think if you're remembering Jonathan Pryce for car commercials, you've really not watched enough movies. This man's talents, I mean, I'm tempted to pull up his Wikipedia page and force you to sit here as I read through each and every
credit. Calm down now. Calm down, Ben.
Anyway, maniacal master.
And he was a good master. He was really, you know, turned it up to 11. Oh, but yeah.
Over the top.
Yeah.
But he's talking to his, talking to and about his arch nemesis, the Doctor, played by fan favorite.
Rowan Atkinson. Good old Mr. Bean. You may remember from
Blackadder.
You may remember from the Summer Olympics a couple years ago. Don't give me that look.
It's been a few years, yeah.
That was last year.
God. I don't know.
By the time this show comes out, maybe it'll be a few years ago.
Somebody could be listening to the show in 2015 and they're or 2017, and they're like, last year, but it was in Buenos Aires.
2012.
The 2012 London Olympics.
Yeah.
How hard is that?
Hard. Real hard.
Well, see, that's the thing. The London Olympics, of course, featured Mr. Bean because there are very few things more British.
Yeah, see, they mentioned Mr. Bean.
Yeah, yeah. The Beatles. Yeah.
A lot of Beatles stuff. There was...
People playing cricket.
The London Underground.
Yeah, London Underground.
Let's see, they played some music from The Who, The Jam.
Yeah, yeah. They had scenes from a lot of different shows from... except one.
Oh, they didn't put anything from Doctor Who in there.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Yeah. Kind of odd. So anyway, not that I'm still bitter about that 8 years later. But no. Rowan Atkinson takes his turn as the Doctor. And he's got some big news for the Master. So they go to meet on the planet Tursurus.
Yeah. They meet down here and... He's giving his companion, Emma, a little rundown about Tursurus.
Mm-hmm.
And the Tursurons apparently communicated only by farting.
Specifically modulated farts.
Modulated farts.
Yeah. Different frequencies of smell.
Yeah, and I have to commend you. You're learning the Tursuranian language very well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can speak several dialects of their language.
Yes. Yeah, I liked how you said I love you earlier.
Mm-hmm. I can also say...
I can still taste it.
Yeah. I can also say quite fluently, wow, that was a lot of Taco Bell I had for dinner. Or at least that's what everybody around me translates it to.
Yes. Well, they're not quite as fluent as you yet, so...
Yeah. Well, I don't think fluent is the word to use.
If it's fluent. Fluent sounds almost like fluid, and that's not something that you want to associate with
later farts. This morning.
Yeah.
So anyway, we meet Emma, who's played by, I've always had trouble with her name, Julia Sawala?
Sawala? I don't know.
She played Safi, on Absolutely Fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Daughter of Adina.
Mm-hmm.
Which, also featured on Absolutely Fabulous was Joanna Lumley, who we'll get to a little bit later.
Yes.
But she's going to be marrying the Doctor.
Yeah. So they're going to meet the Master to make this big announcement. Because he wants to tell the Master first.
He's saved the universe countless times. Each planet in the universe, what is it, like
an 27 times?
27 times.
Something like that. I'm sure we'll be corrected on that.
Yes. Kirby, please go ahead and mention this on Facebook after this comes out, if we got that wrong.
I got
to quit picking on him. Because I love when he corrects me, because it makes me work double hard next time.
And because you're that guy for other shows and things. Yeah.
I definitely will call out other shows for it, so I definitely appreciate when he calls me
out. It is a sign of respect.
Among nerds,
yeah,
especially Whovians, I think this is like, actually, no.
Actually, no.
I don't think he's ever come at me with an actual, not with that snobby. He's always...
No, that wasn't him. That wasn't his voice. That was other nerds.
Well, it was somebody we met at Intervention this year.
Lots no.
Of fun, yeah.
No, we only meet awesome people at Intervention.
There's always one.
He's probably not listening now anyway.
No. No, because he was a reader of the comic, not the show.
Yeah, and if he is listening, I hope you're flipping a table right now. Because you know that we're talking about you.
All about you.
You probably no, we shouldn't. Think the show is about you.
But not you. Not you. Not no, you. The other guy.
Yeah, the other guy. Definitely the other guy. So anyway. Jinx.
Buy me a Coke. So the Tesserons are extinct now, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they communicated through specifically modulating farting, the entire planet, or the all life on the planet, was wiped out.
When they discovered a fire.
Yeah, you gotta think with all that methane, there was quite a boomf.
Yeah. But it still smell pretty awful.
This is where we were talking about the spoilers, because one of the things people have found where Stephen Moffat was a fan of Doctor Who from way back. Mm-hmm. And one of the things they found was some of his posts on an old Doctor Who thing, or a Usenet that was based on Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. Like a little fan gathering thing. Sort of like our forums today. A lot of people don't remember Usenets anymore if they're beyond a certain point.
No, not really.
Yeah. But Usenet was old, old days. And Google has archived a lot of the Usenet. And because it's Google, we can search it. And people mm-hmm. found some of little Stevie Moffat's posts from the early 90s. This one's going out to little Stevie Moffat. This companion snogs for you. And one of the things he had talked about was, why can't the Doctor get, you know, fall in love? Mm-hmm. And maybe even regenerate and be a woman someday.
Craziness. What? Oh, my God. If that happens, I'm going to rage quit Doctor Who. I swear to God.
No, you won't. People have been threatening to rage quit Doctor Who for 50 years. Literally, since, like, the summer before it came out. They were like, if this show's not about history, I'm going to stop watching it before I even start.
Mm-hmm.
They said, except they said it with British accents and stuff. So,
I saved you from that.
Thank you. Okay. But, yeah. So, Emma is going to marry the Doctor.
So, I wondered, mm-hmm. does she take his name?
Mrs. Doctor?
Mrs. Doctor?
Because the Master...
Mrs. Who?
No. That's only for the Peter Cushing non-canonical movies.
Right,
where
right.
he was Doctor
Actually, Doctor Who.
But, no, the Master seemed pretty grossed out by all the kissing that was going on.
Yeah. Well, just like he was in middle school or something. Yeah. Gross.
Girls are gross. Don't kiss your companion. Yeah.
And I also wondered, won't River Song be jealous?
She might be. She's not the first.
Yeah.
So, Tercerons were mentioned in the Expanded Universe. I want to mm-hmm. go ahead and point out. A couple of novels and one of the audio dramas.
Which I've heard are very good.
I
haven't got into it.
One of our friends who's on the Doctor Who panel with us this year, Kara Dennison, who's been on the Doctor Who panel with me a couple mm-hmm. of times now. She is a huge Expanded Universe fan.
Mm-hmm.
And just always amazes me how much about the Expanded Universe she knows.
Well, didn't she come into it in that dark time?
During the wilderness years.
When there was nothing new, so she watched all the old stuff, whatever she could get her hands on, I'm assuming, and then wanted more, so the only thing else
I think she actually came in with the Paul McGann movie.
Okay.
Because she is a huge Paul McGann fan. So we'll have to talk to her next year and see about getting her on the show, too.
Yeah.
But this was kind of almost like, I mean, even though it's a parody episode, it was kind of like a little, I don't know, homage. It's almost like a fan film
right.
from a fan who's like, hey, I want to try to put in all exactly these references. Well, yeah, Stephen Moffat being a fan, basically got the production facilities of the BBC
mm-hmm.
and had probably every fan's dream, the chance to make a fan episode.
Yeah, an official fan episode.
Right.
So he threw in all these little jokes that I really liked, even being only a sort of surface fan of the classic. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm learning, I'm getting into it, but I recognize a lot of the things, like the rock quarry.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm getting tired of the rock quarries.
So many rock quarries.
the running through corridors, and they kept running through the same corridor over and
just
over
different
and over
angles. Yeah. And she actually makes the comment, these quarters all look the same. And I mean, and I grew up watching the original, and that was, well, the original, but the classic Doctor Who series. And that was so many times. And I think, isn't there actually a book or a documentary called Running Down Quarters? Somebody's biography, maybe?
Yes. Oh,
there's something else somebody can correct me on.
Yeah.
So many quarters.
So, and he also keeps saying, I'll explain later, whenever she asks him a question.
Which was really used during certain doctors' times.
Now, which one said this the most? Was it that kind of a third doctor thing? It seems like that's where I heard it, but I could be remembering wrong.
Well, I'll tell you later.
Okay. Okay.
But one of the things, though, that comes up really quick is using time travel to get out of the situation. Oh, it's almost like Bill and Ted. Oh, well, I'll go back and remember to put a bucket of sand here. Well, yes. Before you do that, I'll go back even further and put the hole under the bucket here. You know, that kind of thing.
And every time, it's relying on them to actually get out of the situation.
To go back.
Using, yeah. And it's this twisted, endless loop of Mobius strip time traveling that I hate.
Right, but that has been used by Moffat in the new series.
Yes, and I didn't like it then. It's okay here because this is a parody, but later on when he does it, it kind of irritates me.
Like going
me.
Back through time and telling Rory to remember to put the Sonic in Amy's top pocket.
Yes. Oh,
there it is.
Yeah.
I don't think that's
it.
A problem.
That's the whole different episode. I mean,
yes.
There were worse things in that episode than that specific thing.
Yes. But this is, again, one of Moffat's first chances to use this trope, which I don't think at this time was a trope.
It was not. He was setting it up for later. He
went
back in time and made this episode.
Oh, to set up.
Yeah, to set up the trope for later.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the Master sets a trap by going back through time, sets a trap for the Doctor, which the Doctor escapes. You know, there was the spikes of death, which then became the
sofa of reasonable comfort.
Yes, which is a line that Rowan Atkinson can deliver.
That was very Monty Python to me.
Bring the comfy chair. But then one of the major traps he makes is a trap door that leads to the sewers of Tercerus. That very terse with your language.
Yes.
And it would take, 500 miles of sewage and fear and feces, I think you referred to it.
Just
and,
sounds lovely.
The steaming sewers. Ooh.
Yeah.
Which, of course,
colorful.
Using this wibbly wobbly, timey wimey back and forth, the Doctor actually causes the Master to fall in, who then takes 312 years to get out of, and then gets in his TARDIS and comes back to the day that he fell in so he could confront the Doctor.
And he brings back with him an army of Daleks.
Yay, Daleks.
Yay, and he's got his upgrade with his plunger hand. You know, now he sucks. He doesn't know what to do with it, but he's going to suck something with his plunger hand.
Now, one thing, though, this was the final appearance of Roy Skelton, who has played a Dalek for a long time. He was actually, as far as like doing voices for Doctor Who, has been way back as far as, 10th Planet, he did Cybermen voices.
Oh, wow.
I think his first Dalek appearance was The Evil of the Daleks. He was a computer voice. He was just, different voices.
Mm-hmm.
So
he's like the classic Dalek voice that everyone knows pretty much.
And this was actually his last Doctor Who appearance. And he only passed away a couple of years ago, though, June of 2011.
Well, he went out with a bang on this one.
Oh, yeah.
That's for sure.
Lots of Daleks in this episode. Lots and lots of Daleks.
Yes. So the Master comes back. He falls in the trap again. One of the Daleks pushes him in. He has to go through the...
Well, no. First, he runs toward the Doctor. Doctor dodges. He falls in.
Falls in.
He comes back out. They start to chase the doctor. This time, one of the Daleks bumps into him. He falls into the trapdoor again. And as the Daleks proceed forward, he catches back up again, this time on his walker, because he's gone through the thing for 936 years.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, he's a Time Lord, so they can...
Oh, and I love the part where he comes out and he's, like, vomiting shit. Like, literally.
We say feces, or fecal matter.
Shit is gurgling. Yeah. Oh, and the part where he says he has sex with the dung slug.
No, he's saying that his having to live on dung slugs and sometimes use them for companionship.
Companionship.
On those lonely nights.
Is code word for hentai with dung slugs.
You know, air quotes don't work that well on...
That's why I had to put the air quote voice on everything. That's what that was.
Well, how do you know it was that voice? Or how do you know that's what he was doing?
I know. That was also in a non-canon episode that I saw on the internet.
Yeah, that wasn't a non-canon episode. That's called Slash.
Slash Master Dung Slug Hentai.
Yes. So, now that they've, as the doctor runs and escapes, almost escapes, nope, goes into an army, a room full of an army of Daleks, is captured.
Yes.
And we're at the end of the episode, right?
No.
No, because much like classic Doctor Who, cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Cut to credits, come back to...
Now, I guess they did some more of their telethon in between,
yeah,
so that there was like a little bit of a cliffhanger there, but, yeah, you know... And of course, true to form for the Daleks, they don't actually kill him right away.
No.
Or maybe it's not so much a Dalek thing as a just evil villain, typical sort of thing,
right,
to do. You just tie up your enemy
and
let
put
him
them
sit
on
there.
Inexplicable chairs.
Yeah, because why would a Dalek have a chair? At this point, they can't even go upstairs, can they? No, they can. They can. Because they were able to go upstairs like in a Seventh Doctor-ish,
mm-hmm,
episode.
Mm-hmm. Which we discussed on the episode Dalek.
Yes. That's been a while.
Yes.
Excuse me.
It's like 8 years ago.
Yeah. Forever.
That was back during the Obama administration.
Oh, my God.
Crazy
times. Crazy. Yeah. Thanks, Obama.
Yeah, that was way back before President Rahm Emanuel. So.
Jeez. Let's get in our TARDIS and come back to Obama days.
Thanks, Obama.
Anyway. So, tie him up to the chair.
But now the master has been rejuvenated.
Yeah, again?
Yes, yeah. Using Dalek technology.
And now he's got some lovely Dalek bumps.
His Dalek,
yeah,
bumps bring all the boys to the yard. No, wait, that's something else. Yeah, these are his etheric beam locators.
Which are conveniently located on his chest area.
His chesticles?
His chesticles.
Yeah.
Yes, and he starts massaging them gently.
No. Jesus. So.
Put him in the glass.
Nope. Now he's working with the Daleks to create a Zectronic energy beam, which will allow the Daleks to conquer the universe in just a few minutes.
So it's like a microwave. It's a universe-conquering microwave.
Well, yeah, instead of the regular conventional beam,
mm-hmm,
weapon, this one you can... You know,
super fast.
Yeah. I think, yeah, Zectronic is actually what comes after microwave. There's like microwaves, and then there's Zectronic. So it cooks your, it like food. Zectronic beam ovens will actually cook your food before you put it in the oven.
Awesome. I've got to,
yeah,
get one of those.
You just got to think about what you're going to have for dinner when you start walking toward the oven.
Mm-hmm.
It's already in there and done.
That's awesome. Because that frozen lasagna shit, like I can't be bothered to wait 50 minutes.
Right.
Fuck that shit. No. Zectronic energy beam. Frozen lasagna, instantly.
Before you even wanted to make it.
Yeah.
But it seems like it was a clever way of having to not explain anything, or everything.
Yeah. How is that exactly?
I'll explain later. Okay. So, now then, though, the doctor, trying to escape, he's passed a message to the master using the modulated farts that he and the master both speak, warn the Master that the Daleks are going to kill them both once they conquer the universe.
Mm-hmm. And the Master, what the fuck was this? He's like, oh, let me say the message out loud so the Dalek can hear me.
Yes, because the whole thing was is the Daleks don't have noses.
Mm-hmm.
So they couldn't smell the message.
So this was more of a smell message rather than a sound message.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of disgusting, actually. Like, when they were first talking about it, I kind of interpreted
it
as a...
Oh, you thought it was like the frequency of the fart.
Yes, like the sound. Like the sound.
No. Because the SBDs also work.
Yeah.
And so this was more of the smell communication. Mm-hmm. So I would be completely deaf on this planet because I don't have a sense of smell.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I'd just be walking around going, "What? What? Why does the air taste funny? What?"
Well, I would think that you can adapt, you know, much like a deaf person can sometimes sense sound waves, you know, or
the vibration.
Vibration, yeah. You might be able to taste.
If they're modulating their farts to the point that I can feel the vibration.
You might be able to have different tastes.
Because that's definitely what I want, is to taste as many farts as possible. No. 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 Put away the Taco Bell. So, this is where the Doctor dies. So it's the end of the story.
No.
No, because Time Lords can regenerate.
Duh.
And the way that they regenerated in this, he was very similar to the way the first Doctor regenerated. Close up on the face, the blur out, the bright light, and bam, new Doctor. And this Doctor is Richard E. Grant.
Now that the first Doctor, you didn't actually see him regenerate. It happened outside of the show. Okay.
Nope. First Doctor regenerated after encountering the Cybermen.
Okay.
Now, a lot of that footage is lost, so that may... I think there's some footage of that, but we don't have a lot.
Okay. I'll have to take your word for it, because I didn't see it.
I'll explain later.
Okay.
So, the Doctor's replaced, and now we get the 10th Doctor.
It's Richard E. Grant.
Yep, who... and here's another spoiler. We see him again. Well, let's go back a little bit further. This is the first time he plays the Doctor. The second time he plays the Doctor is in December of 03, Scream of the Shalka, which was a non-canonical...
Shalka.
Which was a non-canonical webisode.
Okay.
That BBC put out.
Good
kind of a creepy-looking Doctor and creepy-looking
Master.
Now,
is it like an animated sort of thing?
It's flash animation. Okay. He does the voice of that. But then most of the fans who've, you know... been watching the show and are all caught up, will recognize him as Dr. Simeon, who becomes the Great Intelligence.
Yes.
Or becomes possessed by the Great Intelligence.
Mm-hmm. And that's in the seventh season?
Seventh season. The Christmas episode, which was the sixth episode of seventh season, right before the split. Yeah, the snowmen. And then he comes back again in another Clara episode. Well, two more episodes.
Mm-hmm. I really like him as a villain, too. So, anyway, we'll get to that.
Plays a villain very well.
We'll explain later.
And considers himself charming and handsome.
He licks the mirror when he sees himself.
Mirror-lickingly attractive.
Yeah. Which I do sometimes, too. I mean, I can't really blame him for that, among other things.
Anyway. So, he goes to work to save the Daleks and the universe because the Zectronic beam is going to explode and kill everybody.
Yeah.
So he's going to fix it. And immediately kills himself.
Of course.
End of the episode.
No, he comes right back in a matter of seconds.
Yeah. For the 11th Doctor, Jim Broadbent.
And he's kind of the bumbling, goofy
shy,
doctor. Yeah.
Socially awkward doctor. She's a girl. Now... you told me you recognized him from Harry Potter.
Yes, he was Professor Slughorn, who was, I can't remember which Harry Potter movie it was, actually. It was one of the later ones, but he was the professor that had all the kind of the favorites and kind of chose Harry as one of his teacher's pets, that sort of thing.
Okay.
God, I wish I could remember. I remember everything that happens in this movie, but I can't remember which one it is.
Well, one of the things, though, that kind of is interesting is he got the Oscar.
For?
I cannot remember. He's an Oscar-winning actor.
Well, you can't bring up something like that and then just not know.
I know. So I have to look up, like, Internet Movie Database or something?
Database?
Database. Data. Dita data duda. What did Jim Broadbent win the Oscar for? Because, see, I recently saw him in Cloud Atlas.
Yeah.
Which I thought he was great.
He was. That was a weird but great movie and way off subject of what we're talking about right now.
Well, no, because there's time travel involved, kinda.
Yes. Yes, there is.
But he, you know, even though this is non-canonical, he is he is the only actor to play the Doctor, the only Oscar-winning actor to play the Doctor in a BBC-sanctioned episode.
Okay, now you're kind of stretching it to have that all those qualifiers on it.
He's the first Doctor to have a shoe made of leather in an episode starting with a G, after which he... You know.
Yeah.
So he got the Best Supporting Actor in Iris in 2001.
Which I have not seen.
I don't even know what Iris is.
No.
No?
No.
So we're just...
Judi Dench, Kate Winslet, and Jim Broadbent.
How do I not know this? Because Dame Judi Dench is in it. That's worth watching. But
yeah.
We'll explain it later.
Yeah, we'll do the work.
So he doesn't last very long.
No, and these are like bam, bam, bam.
Yeah.
They keep regenerating.
Because as soon as he regenerates, he's now the dashing Hugh Grant. Now, this is 1999 Hugh Grant.
So he was like kind of in the top of his game at that time.
But also a Doctor Who fan. Cool thing, all of these actors so far have at one point been considered for the part of the Doctor.
Wow. Even good old Mr. Bean.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
The only one that I could see really, like, I thought Richard E. Grant could have been a good Doctor at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now he's a little bit older and he doesn't kind of have that look anymore.
I think he could still pull it off if he hadn't been used already
as a
terrific villain. I would hate, as much as I would like to have seen him as the Doctor, I think losing him as the Great Intelligence would be a huge loss.
Yeah.
Because he made an excellent villain, especially for the 11th Doctor.
Mm-hmm. He was very cold and conniving.
Yeah, very cold because of the snowmen.
We'll explain later.
Yeah. But Hugh Grant, I think, would have been a great Doctor.
Yeah, he was all right. He was just...
If you needed a young Doctor...
Yeah.
If you're going back for that thing...
He was too famous at that time, though. He really... I mean, even in 2005, if they had chosen him in 2005, I think he... I don't know. I just feel like the Doctor tends to be a little bit less known.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not so much now.
Well, the 5th Doctor, Peter Davison...
Mm-hmm.
Was very well known when he took the part.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe
all
only
creatures,
Britain.
Great and small.
Because I was like watching Tristan. Sesame Street at the time. So.
Yep, I had a chance to meet him last year and did not happen.
Hmm.
So Hugh Grant didn't make it.
No, he was probably the shortest lived of all these quicker generations,
which is a shame.
Yeah, because he basically sacrificed himself to save everyone by absorbing the Zectronic energy beam.
Which is one of the few things in the universe that can kill a Time Lord and not let them regenerate.
Of course.
Except the universe can't stand to live without the Doctor.
And he was so awesome that the Master was going to be good from now on, and the Daleks, and...
Yeah,
freaking sunshine and unicorns. Obama riding a unicorn.
So one magic regeneration later, and we get the 13th Doctor, Ms. Joanna Lumley.
Va-va-voom.
Who we all know from Absolutely Fabulous.
Yeah.
As we work backwards, though, the New Avengers.
The New Avengers.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with the new Avengers.
No. The New Avengers, which is a continuation of the British television series,
yes.
The Avengers, which starred Diana Rigg, who appeared on an episode of Doctor Who recently. Santarin in Scotland fighting Do you know this one? Is this sounding familiar?
Somewhat. Why don't you just spill it out for me? We didn't discuss this in the pre-show.
Well, you were looking up all the stuff about the people.
Well,
Dame Diana Rigg?
You went through, like, three levels of...
The Crimson Horror? She and her daughter were on that episode, which is another seventh season. We go back to the Tom Tom episode.
Oh,
take your next left. Make it. Jeez,
why don't you just
watch?
Okay, but she's also in the James Bond movie on Her Majesty's Secret Service,
which also has Joanna Lumley.
It's all meshing.
It's in which a lot of people never watched on Her Majesty's Secret Service because it had the other James Bond,
right.
The off one. The not quite Sean
less
Connery.
Popular.
George Lazenby.
Yeah, that guy.
I mean, that, which was one of my favorite episodes. One of my favorite James Bonds. But then there's the whole theory that James Bond is a Time Lord.
Yeah.
Because you have all the regenerations. Yeah. And so one of his shortest regenerations is George Lazenby. So everybody go check out On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, we're still talking about Curse of Fatal Death.
Oh, yeah. So, now then, Joanna Lumley, much like all of the other actors who've played the Doctor so far in this episode,
had been
considered
offered.
For the part of the Doctor.
Now, I wonder, when was she considered? Do you know?
I don't know if she was offered the part. I know she was considered for the
role.
Okay,
but when was she considered? Like, would it have been...
1936. I don't know.
Well, I thought you knew everything.
I read a thing on a thing on one of those internet machines.
What thing?
The stuff about the stuff. I'll explain later.
Okay.
So she plays the 13th Doctor, and she has her own etheric beam locators.
Yeah.
And her sonic screwdriver.
Sure does.
Yeah.
Three speeds.
Yeah. Well, Emma has put up with all these changes and is happy with the Doctor each time. But
except
now,
for that dorky guy, I think.
No, even him, she was still, you know, still the Doctor.
Yeah, but she was really excited when it was Hugh Grant.
Well, who wouldn't be?
She's like, no,
don't die. But now she's gone too far because he's literally not the man she met.
Yeah. Not into the girl-on-girl action with Joanna Lumley.
Which, I don't understand that, but, well,
I
maybe because they were on AbFab together.
You're
It'd be
like,
kind of weird.
You're like my auntie. What?
Yeah, except, you know, she hated her.
Oh.
Like, they were always picking at each other.
It has been a really long time since I saw that show. And we're not doing a podcast about
AbFab.
Oh, God.
We should start an AbFab podcast.
No.
I'll give Howard a call.
Wow.
What?
We're going to talk after the show.
Okay. We will.
So, anyway...
Yeah, I'm going to let you talk now. Since you run the show.
So, the master
like
is...
Like, you're the master of the show.
Is... You know what?
I get that at cons now. I hear people talking about... Shh. Oh!
You know what? Shh.
Playing Doctor Podcast featuring Jenny and that other guy.
The master hooks up with the Doctor now because...
Yes.
He's into it.
Well, Jonathan Pryce and Joanna Lumley.
Cute couple.
Hot.
Yeah.
Especially at 1999. Hotter.
Mm-hmm.
Time travel.
So they go off to travel the universe together and have weird sex in the time vortex.
It's like some kind of biannual event, I guess.
Biannual.
No, but the whole thing about the gender-swapping doctor
right
brought
here.
Up... here first, but he brought it up on the Usenets, and he brought it up here, and it was mentioned in an 11th Doctor episode, written by Neil Gaiman.
Yeah. And I don't know, remember if we've talked about this or not on our show yet, but there were a lot of fangirls, feminists, who were very upset
that we had
the
12th another
Doctor
is played by Peter Capaldi, another old, white, straight man.
Yeah.
Mostly just feminist. It was several communities that were complaining about that.
I would say the ones that I saw the most were the feminists.
Well, I mean, I know a lot of people are upset that once again James Bond is played by a British man.
Yeah.
And once again, Captain Kirk is played by a square-jawed American boy, mm-hmm. even though the first Captain Kirk was Canadian.
Yeah, so basically...
Superman's a Brit, Wolverine's an Aussie.
Basically, I feel like they can suck it. And...
Well, they won't if they're feminist. But,
yeah,
basically. Wow. So send your letters to...
Ben said that.
Yeah. So what'd you think? This was kind of a fun...
It was just fun.
Yeah, it was not meant to be taken canonical as canon. I just had a lot of fun saying canonical.
Yeah, just say it again.
Canonical.
Canonical.
It ain't canon with one N.
Yeah. So that's it. It was a thumbs up for fun.
Mr. Bean as the Doctor. Blackadder. Yeah. He was more Blackaddery than he was Mr.
Well,
Bean.
Well, yeah. But when I see him, he's always Mr. Bean to me.
And he's always Blackadder to me.
Well, that's...
Because I'm a huge...
Good for you.
Hugh Laurie, Stephen Fry, Rowan Atkinson, Blackadder.
Good for
you. That's the reason I watched House.
Okay. So are we done now?
Yep. So let's... thank our guest for being here. Oh,
thanks, guest.
Hey, thanks, Jenny, for being here.
Thanks, Ben, for being on my show.
Yeah, keep it up.
I try.
But seriously, though, we would like to thank our friend Daryl Lewis.
Flying Monkey Moto Gear.
Yeah, for making our awesome theme song that we play each week.
The most awesome theme song of any Doctor Who podcast ever.
Sometimes I listen to it because there's the longer version that he gave us. And whenever I'm writing or something, sometimes I'll just not be paying attention and I'll have iTunes in there to kick in. And I'm like, oh.
Yay, our show. I miss doing a show.
Hi, my theme song. Eventually. For my show. I love my show.
My show that I allow my girlfriend to be on with me.
Find us online at www.playingdoctorpodcast. Does anybody say www anymore?
You do, apparently.
Yeah, playingdoctorpodcast.com.
We're on Facebook. At Playing Doctor.
/ Playing Doctor.
Well, people know how to Facebook. Christ's sake.
Well, do they know how to Twitter? Because our Twitter name is wrong. You have to look for @ Playing Doctors with an S.
Yes.
A lot of people thought that was the name of the show because of Twitter.
It's just Playing Doctor.
But the Twitter is Playing Doctors. With an S. We got to hurry up. The TARDIS is on the way. We're on Google+. Look for us there. We're on Stitcher Radio.
Yes, you can subscribe or you can stream online for free.
iTunes for free.
Yes.
Subscribe. Make sure you leave us a rating. We have a phone number, 434-993-TIME. What the hell is that?
434-993-8463.
And leave us a message and we might play it on the show. But if you do leave us a message, it's our property. And we'll, mess with your audio and make you
Damn
say nasty
right it
things
is.
About your own mother.
Yeah.
With time travel.
And dick.
Hey, if you want to find me to complain about some of Jenny's language tonight, you can find me on Twitter @ Reality Amok.
You can find me on Twitter @ Jenny_Z.
We'll see everybody next time.
Leave me behind.